God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from our gospel reading of Luke chapter 7, 1 through 10. As we have a miracle taking place here, another miracle of Jesus. And it's good to be talking about these miracles as Luke has a lot of them. It reminds us on who Jesus is. But before we get into our text, I have to share with you a little bit of an experience that happened to me in college. Was once asked to sort of do a little bit of a self-reflection. You know, what kind of grade would you give yourself for a particular class? That kind of self-reflection. I actually had a professor ask me that. But the question I'm going to ask you for today is, how would you rate yourself as far as humility? Would you give yourself an A? Even if you truly were a humble person, could you even give yourself an A, saying that you had the highest score possible? Or would you just settle for a B? But I don't know about you, a truly humble person would probably say, no, a B is even too good. What about C? Well, I don't know about you, but I'd probably just immediately flip to the end of the scale and say, well, I'd probably just fail in humility. Yes, at some times I may be humble, but most of the times I'm not that humble. But would a truly humble person give themselves an F or a D or what letter grade? It's sort of an academic argument, but it sort of begs the point. How do you rate someone with being humble? Now, we're not going to be talking about humility, but we are going to be rating ourselves in a different category. But first of all, now let's get into our text, sort of the background here. We have a slave, a servant, who is sick and about to die. His master, a Roman centurion, is deeply concerned for this servant. He apparently has some connection with the local Jewish congregation. And the elders from that congregation are now sent out to find Jesus. They know that Jesus can heal this servant. So the Jewish elders now come up to Jesus. And they say that this Roman centurion's servant is sick, about to die. And notice they now plead with Jesus. And notice what they say. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV. He says, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built our synagogue." Notice the Jewish elders here use the word worthy. They say that the Roman centurion is worthy to have God, the Son of God, come and heal his servant. And the basis of that worth is now measured. In case if we were asking ourselves, how do you measure whether someone's worthy or not? From the Jewish elders' point of view, the measure of that worth is what? He loves our nation, the people of Israel, okay, God's people, and he what? He built the synagogues, especially the one in that town. He has money and helped contribute to the building program, if not built it entirely from his own salary. We now have a guideline and criteria for worthiness. So picking up on the Jewish elders' point of view, how worthy are you? How much do you love the people of God? And how much are you willing to help support and build, say, your local church? But the text doesn't end here. So don't start rating yourself on worthiness yet. Notice what happens. Jesus is now not far from the home. He is on his way. And now the centurion sends his own friends. And he says, the friends now say to Jesus, in behalf of the centurion, "Lord, do not trouble yourself. I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but just say the word and let my servant be healed." Now notice, the centurion has a different aspect of worthiness. The Jewish elders just got through declaring that he is worthy. The centurion says, "I am not worthy to have God come to me, and I am not even worthy to come to God. Just say the word." Now we have a true measure of worthiness. Because notice Jesus' response to this. Jesus really didn't respond to the Jewish elders, but he now responds to the friends saying this. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at them, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." That's a little bit of a slap in the face to the Jewish elders. But they got the whole concept of worthiness all mixed up here. Jesus knows what's going on here. He knows the person's heart. He knows that mankind is not worthy. What are we worthy of? Because of our sin. The moment we were born in sin, and we continue to dwell in sin. We are worthy of sin, death, and eternal damnation. Plain, simple, to the point. We do not have any worth in and of ourselves for God to come to us, or for us to even come to the house of God. Obviously, you know I'm going to say a little bit more about this, because it is only through the person and work of Jesus Christ that we can come to our Lord and Savior. It is only because of the forgiveness of sins that Jesus Christ merits for us are we now considered to be worthy. Our worthiness doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from what Jesus did upon the cross. Now, yes, Jesus hasn't yet gotten to the cross at this point. But now notice what he does. He says, "Wow, this is such great faith. Even in all of Israel," sort of chastising the religious leaders around him and everyone else around him, basically saying, "This Gentile, this foreigner, has more faith in God than the people of God." That's a bold statement. But now let's go back to that last statement of the centurion. Just say the word. What can God accomplish in a word? Can God just heal someone without actually physically being there and touching the person? Can God heal someone just by saying the word? Well, let's just go back in our memory to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Yes, the power of God has action. Even out of nothing, the earth was created, the heavens were created, the land, the trees, the birds, the animals, and even people with the word of God. The Roman centurion knew this, but the Jewish elders were all wrapped up with their love for their own nation, the people of Israel, and with money. That's how they considered worth. The Roman centurion, however, knew he was not worthy. He was not worthy to have God come to him. So now I have to ask you the question, are you worthy? Are you worthy, or do you have faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Now, too often, when we start thinking of our own worthiness, we fall into a similar trap with the Jewish elders. How many times in our own lives have we looked at ourselves and said, "You know, I'm not a bad Christian. You know, I go to church regularly. I pray regularly. I give a certain amount of my income to the church. That makes me a good person." Then we fall into the category of the Jewish elders here. We've now determined on our worth by what we have done. Some of you may be saying, "But I've already confessed my sins. See, now I'm clean. Now I'm whole." Hang on to that for a moment. Because when we use confession that way, we're also making confession a work of ourselves. Let me read to you a little bit more about what really occurs during confession and absolution. Our confession of sins before God when we pray to Him is not the reason why God forgives us. It is not a good work that merits grace. Rather, confession of sins is designed to bring us back to Christ and His word of forgiveness for strength and comfort against sin. You see, we have to remember it was the suffering and death of Jesus upon the cross is the reason why God forgives us. We confess that we believe that what the Word of God says is true, and that, yes, we are sinners, and it has brought us to repentance. But the actual act of saying, I, a poor, miserable sinner, does not convey that forgiveness. It is that relationship. We believe and trust in what Jesus has done upon the cross. We believe the gospel, which promises us forgiveness through what he has done. But whenever we think, I can go to God and ask God for prayer, and it's because of that prayer I merit forgiveness, or it's because I said the words of the confession and absolution, or worse yet, if we were caught by a train and we were a little bit late in getting here to church and we missed the confession and absolution, are we not still forgiven by the person and work of Jesus Christ? The answer is yes. But too often, we'll even make confession a work. No, confession is not a work. What Jesus has done on the cross is the work in which we receive that forgiveness of sins. Why does God love us that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? It's not because of anything good within us. No, it's because of the nature of God. God is love. We have to get that through our heads here, is that, like the centurion, we are not worthy to come to God, and we are not worthy to have God come to us. It is only because Jesus paid the price and took away the punishment of our sin that we now come to God. We now come to his house to hear his word proclaimed. We now share that word amongst our brothers and amongst our neighbors. And we also come to the Lord's house to receive the supper, our Lord's supper, for the strengthening of our faith and the forgiveness of our sins. Luther says in the Small Catechism, who receives this sacrament worthily? Now let's hear it from Luther's definition. What does it mean to have worth? He says, fasting and bodily preparation are certainly fine outward training, but that person is truly worthy and well prepared who has faith in these words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. But anyone who does not believe these words or doubts them is unworthy and unprepared, for the word for you requires all hearts to believe. Notice what Luther says here. It's not the fasting. It's not necessarily our bodily preparation that prepares us to receive these words or to receive the sacrament. It is the faith that makes us worthy. Yeah, there are some things that we can do to prepare ourselves, to get ourselves focused upon what's going on in the Lord's Supper. We have bread and wine and the body and blood of Jesus Christ, there for the forgiveness of our sins. But we have to remember, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. That is the key. It's not how much money we put into the offering plate, or how good our clothes look, or what kind of car we use to drive to church. It's what Christ has done for us. He has given and shed himself for the forgiveness of our sins. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. That's how we examine ourselves to prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper. Do you believe those words? Do you desire the forgiveness that God gives to you? One of my favorite phrases is this. The church is for sinners. So if you haven't sinned, you have no need to come to God's holy house to hear his word of forgiveness, nor to receive his sacrament. But if you have sinned, and by the way, we still have that sinful nature within us, we are sin, then you have come to the right place at the right time to hear that word of God, that forgiveness proclaimed, and to receive that sacrament given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. That's the right reason to come. We are worthy because Christ makes us worthy. We are drawn to these words, and so we now come to our Lord and Savior, not by anything we have done, by what he has done. Now we take this message, and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving me my sins. Thank you for making me worthy. Because in our own cynical minds sometimes, we might think of ourselves still as unworthy. You could say that false humility, that false unworthiness. We may say, you know, the Lord could never forgive me, Pastor. You don't know what I've done in my life. We've now just shattered these words of God. The words of God are forgiveness. It doesn't matter what you have done. Are you drawn to needing Christ's forgiveness that He has given to you by His death and resurrection? You are sin, as the psalmist reminds us. We were born in sin. We need that forgiveness. So we are drawn to our Lord and Savior, not by how good we've been or how bad we've been. We're drawn to Him because we are sinners needing that forgiveness. And He is our Savior. Now we are worthy. Now we are worthy to hear that word, to grow in that faith, to receive the sacrament. Not because of anything we have done, by what He has done, that we are worthy. And so the next time we have those strange thoughts that kind of come into our lives and saying, you're no good, you're worthless, or you feel alone and rejected or depressed, we have to remind ourselves, why were we baptized? We were baptized to be put into God's family. God loves us. He adores us. He was willing to die on the cross for us so that we could have life in Him and have this forgiveness of sins. You are worthy. You're right, not by anything you have done, by what Christ has done. So the next time we get depressed, we get down and out, we need to remember our worth doesn't come from our own actions. It comes from what Christ has done for us. So on this day, as we see how our Lord heals a centurion's servant, a Gentile's servant, you could say, on someone who is not part of the kingdom of God, at least not part of the people of Israel, out of His love and mercy, that same love and mercy comes to us as He makes us worthy by His death and by His resurrection and by Him giving to us this forgiveness of sins. So on this day, we rejoice with all of Christendom. We are worthy because of the blood of the Lamb. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.